Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 90 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Leanne Akers.
The valley locations have had a couple of 90-degree days, two or three in a row already, and it looks like this will last until about Saturday.
A heat wave in Kentucky will lead to possibly dangerous temperatures this week.
U.S. 60 in downtown Moorhead will have upcoming lane closures.
And a new nature preserve is open in Lewis County.
In sports, Rowan County mourns the loss of a beloved baseball coach.
Bud Luke brings us the stock report.
Isolated thunderstorms tonight with a low around 73 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A heat wave is washing over western Kentucky. A ridge building over this part of the country, combined with high humidity, is to blame for temperatures reaching 100 degrees or higher. John Pelton is with the National Weather Service. He says the western part of Kentucky, from Owensboro to Hopkinsville, is under a heat advisory through the weekend.
This is actually typical for this time of year. The 10th to 20th of July is usually our warmest time of the year, warmest average high temperatures and low temperatures this time of year. Particularly the valley locations have had a couple of 90-degree days, two or three in a row already, and it looks like this will last until about Saturday.
Spring rain has kept vegetation green in central and eastern parts of the state, as well as keeping temperatures down. However, things will get progressively warmer over the next few days. Temperatures are expected to be lower heading into next week.
The U.S. 60 bypass in Moorhead will start getting pavement upgrades next week as part of a larger resurfacing project beginning next month. The work will take place between the highway's intersections with 519 and the East Main Street connector. Kentucky Department of Highway spokesman Alan Blair says the bypass will maintain two-way traffic during the repaving project.
To keep two-way traffic maintained, that means some of the turn lanes will be affected and will be closed, so there will be a single lane of traffic handling turns as well as through movements. So there are going to be some backups. You know, we do realize it's a real heavily traveled area and it already has some congestion now, but we just ask people to be patient. You know, we will be trying to do our best to keep traffic flowing as smoothly as possible.
Blair says for the next few weeks, motorists should also expect shifted lanes and shoulder closures. Sidewalk and crosswalk repair starts on Monday, July 24th, with repaving slated to take place throughout August.
Rowan County is increasing its efforts to prevent illegal dumping in the area. Judge Executive Walter Blevin says new county solid waste coordinator Ty Brown has bought some camouflage cameras to help catch those illegally getting rid of their trash and other refuse. Blevins, though, is the first to admit that Rowan doesn't have the problems with illegal dumping that many other counties nearby have.
We've been very good in this community in trying to clean it up because I think we realize that it's hard to sell tourism if you've got a big dump right over the hill, and people ought to learn. That's no way to do it. We've got solid waste facilities here that can relatively inexpensively you can drop things off. But you're hurting the whole community when you do that kind of illegal dumping.
Should you spot an illegal dump in Rowan County, you're advised to contact Blevins' office at 784-5151.
Rowan County schools are getting a good cleaning right now as the district prepares for the coming start of the 2017-18 academic year. In addition to accomplishing that task, Superintendent Marvin Moore says there's also some jobs that need to be filled. He notes that a couple of Rowan's teachers retired in May, while a couple of others moved away from the Moorhead area.
The principals and their site-based councils have worked hard to get good replacements, and I feel good about all the hires so far. We still have a couple of others that we've got to get in place, one at the high school. I think the one at McBrayer, elementary teacher in the high school social studies. And after that, I think we'll have everything in place and ready to go.
In addition to its central office, the Rowan School District includes a high school, middle school, four elementary schools, its preschool center, and the Bluegrass Success Academy. School this year in Rowan County starts on August 10th.
An organization working with exchange students is looking for 9 host families for the 2017-18 school year. American Field Service Intercultural Services pledged to bring 51 students to the greater Cincinnati area this year. With most students arriving next week, a few families are still needed. Team Development Specialist Barbara McManus says families need only provide a bed and 3 meals a day for exchange students.
We expect the family to incorporate this student into their family and into their lives. So if the family goes out to dinner, then this is just one of their kids that's added on to that expense. But the students have their own health insurance. They pay for their own clothing and personal entertainment expenses.
McManus says students can take later flights to arrive in late August. To host an exchange student or for more information, visit www.afsua.org.
The Fleming County School Board has decided to give Superintendent Brian Kreisman a pay increase. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports the board approved an amendment to the district's budget, which raised Kreisman's annual pay to $125,000. Kreisman is entering his 3rd year as Fleming superintendent. During that time, he notes a lot of good things have happened.
You know, we've climbed and grown so quick over the past 3 years. You know, we've just become an accredited school district. We just exited state assistance. We're in the top 46 school districts in Kentucky. But we've got to push ourselves even more.
Kreisman says Fleming County schools need to do everything they can to ensure that the district's graduates are college, career, and life ready. Kreisman's initial contract, signed in 2014, had been paying him $110,000 a year.
The city of Maysville has been awarded a CAD grant. With more, here's Sean Delaney.
Several cities and counties throughout the Commonwealth have received funding to upgrade their emergency dispatch systems. According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, over $126,000 was allocated by the state to replace the city's outdated dispatch network. Mason County and the city of Maysville are working on the jointly operated dispatch center. The project is expected to take 3 years to complete at a cost of $1.2 million. For more Head State Public Radio News, I'm Sean Delaney.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says Carter County owes it $26,000 for not properly documenting some road projects between 2008 and 2014. And Judge Executive Mike Malone says the county will likely have to pay that bill. That amount is 20% of the more than $500,000 Carter County received for some emergency road repairs while Charles Wallace was its top official. Malone says there's no way that work can be documented now because Wallace got removed all the records in his office before he took over in early 2015. He adds the cabinet is also culpable. It should have only reimbursed the county at 80%, not 100%, for those projects. At this point, Malone is trying to figure out if Carter County has any recourse in the matter.
What's going on in Wright? And I know this, the current highway administration didn't create the mess. The former one did, and I shouldn't be required to clean up the mess of my predecessor or their predecessor.
The Transportation Cabinet says Carter County will be blocked from getting any discretionary road aid until it repays the money it owes.
Republicans are trending up in Kentucky's voter registration totals. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to Kentucky Today, the Democrats held a 57-36% edge in the state's voter registration before the 2008 election when Barack Obama became president. That gap has fallen to 10% according to the latest numbers. Current totals show Democrats with just over 1,166,000 voters and Republicans with nearly 1.4 million. GOP candidates have carried Kentucky in every election since George W. Bush in 2000, and the Kentucky House of Representatives went under GOP control after the 2016 election for the first time in 95 years. For more at State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
An ethics opinion could decide the political future of Kentucky's Attorney General. Will Clark has details.
The Executive Branch Ethics Commission telling Attorney General Andy Beshear if he pursues an investigation of Governor Bevin's purchase of an Anchorage mansion, he can't run against Bevin in 2019, citing a conflict of interest.
The opinion throws out a lot of claims that aren't necessarily, there's no citation to law behind them, and we want to make sure that we know exactly what the law is.
Beshear says the opinion won't rush his decision on whether or not he wants to enter the 2019 governor's race. I'm Will Clark.
The prospect of a repeal-only vote on the Affordable Care Act has prompted one key Kentucky critic of the Republican replacement plan to shift gears. Josh James has more.
In January, it was Senator Rand Paul who issued warnings to his GOP colleagues about the idea of repealing the Obama health law without a replacement. Now, with several replacement plans scuttled and a clean repeal bill the only option left on the table, Paul tells ABC News he wants to move forward.
But what we discovered is that Republicans don't agree on replacement. My idea of replacement is letting people join co-ops and letting people get the discount and leverage of getting lower prices by joining a big group.
But having Paul and Senator Mitch McConnell back on the same page may not be enough to salvage the reform efforts, with at least three senators already coming out against the so-called repeal and delay bill. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Federal prosecutors are asking a judge to prevent abortion opponents from blocking entry to Kentucky's only abortion clinic. The motion by U.S. Attorney John Coon Jr. asks that demonstrators be kept away from the buffer zone at EMW's Women's Surgical Center in Louisville. The action comes as the clinic braces for a surge in protest. Operation Save America is planning a week-long vigil. The motion filed Tuesday stems from a May incident. Police say protesters were charged with trespassing after locking arms to block the clinic. The motion says future protesters are likely to try the same tactics. Activist Rusty Thompson says an order won't change the group's mission. He says there was no plan for a blockage during the upcoming vigil.
Officials say a man who served as a county chairman for the Kentucky Republican Party has been arrested in Tennessee and resigned from his position. Media cited a police report saying officers arrested David Naramore on Saturday in a Belk department store in Kingsport, Tennessee, after he allegedly exposed himself to an employee in the restroom. The report says Naramore also faces a charge of resisting arrest. Republican Party of Kentucky spokesman Tress Watson told media that Naramore, who's 54, resigned from his position as chairman of the Letcher County Republican Party and from the State Executive Committee of the state's Republican Party. Naramore, who was released from jail after posting bond, did not respond to media requests for comment.
The Kentucky Blood Center is offering an incentive for people to donate blood this summer, a new car. Donor recruitment specialist Shara Moulton says the Summer Lifesaver Highlander giveaway started last month and continues until September the 8th.
In the summer times, the blood supply is always a little low due to the fact that people go on vacations and schools are not in session, and so we're always trying to find ways in order to get more people to come out to donate during the summer months. This year, we're giving away a Toyota Highlander.
Moulton says donors will also receive free T-shirts, but the biggest incentive to give is the fact that one blood donation can save up to three lives. The next KBC blood drives in Moorhead are August 15th, 29th, and 30th. There's more information at kybloodcenter.org.
Lexington officials are planning to open multiple cooling centers across the city to help residents deal with high temperatures. WKYT reports temperatures from Thursday through Saturday are expected to be in the mid-90s, with the heat index well over 100 degrees. The Dunbar Community Center will be open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Thursday and Friday and 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday. Rooms at Pika Dome and Tates Creek Golf Courses will be open from 7 a.m. to dark Thursday through Saturday. LexTran is also offering free transportation to Lexington residents who need a ride to any of the three cooling centers. Citizens should tell the bus driver they're traveling to a cooling center. In addition, officials with the Hope Center say they will be going across town to offer anyone who's homeless a place to stay in their emergency shelter. Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, we'll see a 30% chance of isolated thunderstorms, lows around 73 degrees. Tomorrow, a 50% chance of storms, highs up around 92, and tomorrow night, we'll see lows around 73. On Saturday, a 50% chance of scattered thunderstorms enduring, another 91-degree high. Lows around 75 degrees that night, and on Sunday at the end of the weekend, a 60% chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon, highs around 89 degrees. It's currently sitting at 91 degrees in Lexington, it's 89 in Flemingsburg, 91 in Ashland, 90 degrees in Inez, as well as in Winchester, and it's 90 as well here on the campus of Morehead State University. The time is 4:46. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. We're happy you're with us on this Thursday afternoon.
In today's feature segment, a new nature preserve in Lewis County is open to the public. MSPR's Arlo Barnett has more.
The first time Lewis County Judge Executive Todd Ruckel heard of the Crooked Creek State Nature Preserve, it was already 728 acres.
The Nature Preserve had a lady that just contacted me and asked me about if I wanted to go on a guided hike with them last year. And I went out and took a little hike with them, and it's some beautiful country out in there. And we done that, and it just proceeded from there.
The story starts earlier for Joyce Bender, branch manager of the Kentucky State Nature Preserves Commission. She says work on the preserve has been gradual. The commission started to purchase property for it in 1998 after biologists with the agency identified the area as relatively undamaged and replete with rare plants.
Well, it's really a unique area. It covers several of the surrounding knobs on either side of Chalk Ridge Road and Crooked Creek Road. Crooked Creek runs through the middle of this property, and it's got a number of glades and oak barrens around the glades, and then there's just oak hickory forest, but it's a really interesting complex of all these community types, and it offers just a variety of species, a wonderful place to live.
The preserve was paid for by the Kentucky Heritage Land Conservation Fund, established in 1995. Bender says the funding source is available to NGOs, universities, county governments, and five state agencies to purchase lands for things like protecting rare species and outdoor recreation.
We have been fortunate to use these funds since the 1990s to acquire nature preserves across the state. When I started in 1986, we had 16 nature preserves. We now have 63 preserves, and many of those have been acquired with the assistance of the Heritage Fund.
Bender says part of the funding for Crooked Creek also came from Kentucky Power in the form of an environmental fine. Todd Ruckel is happy to inherit the purchase. He expects the preserve to draw tourists and boost the local economy.
I think it's great for our community. It gives, you know, our residents here an opportunity to, you know, not just view our beautiful county, but maintain a healthy lifestyle while, you know, viewing the county.
The State Nature Preserves Commission opened the park to public use last Saturday. Joyce Bender led the event and got a surprise when the ribbon was cut on the preserve's new hiking trail.
I'm retiring at the end of this month, and I was very surprised that my colleagues decided that they would name the trail that I designed and built after me. So that was really, really a special honor.
The new trail at Crooked Creek State Nature Preserve is 1.3 miles long, and both Bender and Ruckel hope hikers from Lewis County and beyond will use it to walk among plants like Indian paintbrush and blazing star, and birds like Kentucky warblers, wood thrush, and oven birds. I'm Arlo Barnett for MSPR.
You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Morehead State Public Radio. Sports is up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated. Featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Those in Moorhead and around the area are mourning the loss of Round County High School baseball coach Keith Prater. The 38-year-old Prater died yesterday after losing his battle with leukemia. He recently contracted pneumonia and passed away in the intensive care unit at the UK Hospital in Lexington. A popular figure in the school and around the area, Round Superintendent Marvin Moore says Prater was an outstanding coach in person and calls losing him heartbreaking.
Keith will be missed, and he's going to be very hard to replace. But our heart and our prayers go out to Misty and the two girls and the mother and dad, because there was a tight, very tight, knit family. And I know it's going to be a tough time for them, but we're here to support and help them any way we can to help them to get through this.
Prater was diagnosed in early June with the leukemia shortly after taking the Vikings to their first 16th region baseball title in nearly three decades. He leaves behind a wife and two young daughters, along with several friends and admirers. The Cincinnati Reds wrapped up their series with the Arizona Diamondbacks today at Great American Ballpark. The Reds dropped the rubber match game 12-2, now losers of six of their last seven games. The Reds are 40-55 on the year and in last place in the NL Central. The Reds welcome the Florida Marlins into town tomorrow to start a three-game series. With about 60 of his players already having spent much of their summer on campus, Moorhead State football coach Rob Tenier believes that will pay off for the Eagles. Tenier says he likes that the group is about evenly split between MSU's freshmen and veterans.
It's great for camaraderie. You know, it's always great to have someone pushing you, looking over you, and the competition is the most important thing. So excited about what we're doing right now. I think we got a really good group here, a really committed group. And, you know, anytime you can stay for summer, you're going to be in a lot better shape. And that's the goal going into the preseason camp,
which is scheduled to start on August the 1st at Jane Stadium. Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops believes his program is on the upswing and gives credit to the school's administrators and Wildcat boosters for some key support. Stoops says those groups were instrumental in getting the major upgrades made to UK's practice facility and its game day home, Kroger Field.
Our players deserve it. They work extremely hard. We're going to recruit the very best players in the country. They're going to come in and they work extremely hard. They should have the best facilities. And we went out and raised the money and did that with a lot of private donations. And I was proud to get that done for our players because they deserve it. It's going to pay dividends to this program for many years to come.
The Cats are getting ready to begin their preseason practices in a couple of weeks. University of Louisville football standout Lamar Jackson is being recognized by the Davy O'Brien Foundation. MSPR's Tilden Johnson has more.
The foundation says Jackson is one of 30 players on the O'Brien watch list. Jackson had a record-breaking campaign last season, setting school bests with 5,114 yards of total offense, as well as throwing for an ACC and Cardinal high mark of 51 touchdowns. Jackson tallied over 600 yards of total offense in the Cardinals' 62-28 rout of Syracuse. The finalists for the honor will be announced on November 20th, with the trophy being handed out live during the Home Depot College Football Awards on December 7th. The 41st annual Davy O'Brien Awards Dinner is in late February. For MSPR, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Round County football coach Kelly Ford likes that his team has plenty of upperclassmen. He believes that's giving the Vikings some much-needed on-the-field leadership.
We're going to start out with probably about 18 seniors. I got a new kid that moved in from Mississippi. We hadn't seen him in action yet. He's been battling a crack rib, but he's a kid that's going to help us. Got a lot of energy. He's about 6'205", plays a linebacker type position and runs a football named Javen Berry. So we've got some good kids.
The Vikings are into their second week of preseason practices. They'll start full contact work on August 1st. Their season opener is 17 days later at Morgan County. O.J. Simpson has been given parole. At his parole hearing today, all four commissioners agreed to release the 70-year-old Simpson 9 years into his 33-year sentence after he was arrested for armed robbery in 2008. Simpson can be released as early as October the 1st. It's been a good summer for new Moorhead State men's basketball coach Preston Spradlin. With all 15 of his players now on campus, Spradlin has them going through individual and team workouts, along with taking classes to get a head start on their academics. He says he's having fun so far.
You know, it's exciting.
exciting to have it from day one and kind of build it and start fresh is a real exciting time. It's kind of like a dream come true, but we're enjoying it and we're having fun with it, and a lot of excitement to get these guys here.
During the spring, Spradlin replenished MSU's roster by signing 9 new players and adding a pair of walk-ons. Finally, in sports, Rupp Arena, home of the Kentucky basketball team, is getting some upgrades. According to the Lexington Herald Leader, as part of the renovation and expansion of the Lexington Convention Center, Rupp will be getting a new glass or transparent entrance. In addition, plans are in place to replace the benches in the upper bowl of Rupp with chairback seats. The arena will also be getting 4 new hospitality suites. The estimated cost of the entire project is $265 million, and construction is set to begin in January of 2018, with the entire project to be completed by December of 2020. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, soccer, and volleyball. Home games begin August 13th for soccer and August 25th for volleyball. Football begins their season by hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed narrowly mixed near record levels as earnings season got underway in force. This amid renewed uncertainty about the Trump administration's ability to implement its pro-growth proposals. At the close, the Dow Industrials actually finished with a loss of 28.97 at 21,611.78. The S&P 500 was really near the break-even point. It was only down 0.38 of a point at 2473.45, and the NASDAQ Composite actually managed a gain of 4.96, finishing at 6390. The NASDAQ Composite was helped along by a 1% gain in the iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF, as the biotech sector was strong today. And, of course, both the S&P 500 and NASDAQ hit record highs earlier in the session. And the Dow Transports were really a drag on the market quite a bit, as they were down nearly 1%. And overall, most companies have reported solid quarterly results in the earnings season. Of the 76 S&P 500 companies that have reported as of this morning, 76% have topped earnings expectations, and 74% have exceeded sales estimates, according to data from the Earnings Scout. Overseas, European Central Bank President Mario Draghi said policymakers would discuss potential changes to its bond buying program this fall, and these remarks caused the euro to erase earlier losses against the U.S. dollar, as the euro actually leaped nearly 1% to hit a high of $1.16.55. This is the highest level for the euro since August 24, 2015. European markets themselves mostly fell, with the Stock 600 index down 3/8 of a point. In Asia, markets were up today, as the Nikkei was up 5/8 of a percent, and the Shanghai finished with a gain of 0.44%. Oil was down 7/10 of a percent, finishing at $46.73 a barrel, and gold was up 1/10 of a percent, finishing at $1,243.40 an ounce. And among Dow Industrial stocks, your best performers were Nike and Verizon. The worst performers were Home Depot and Travelers. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Kinder Morgan and Mallinckrodt, and the worst performers were Alliance Data Systems and PPG Industries. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 28 cents at 66.60, CSX down $1 at 50.87, AEP up 9 cents at 68.74, AK Steel down 14 cents at 6.46, Marathon Petroleum down 17 cents at 55.38, and Anthem was up 41 cents to finish at 190.70. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education collaboration and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff members Chuck Mraz, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Jacob Lindberg, Kyle Blankenbuehler, and Tilden Johnson. From WUKY, Josh James, and from the Kentucky News Network, Will Clark. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. All Things Considered is next.